Hey, Al, you ready?
Well, we've got an especially dirty hippie here down on the court trying to sink an impossible shot.
This is human drama at its best. Just focusing, taking a moment to concentrate. That's okay. Concentrate all you want.
Let's do it.
Allergy season.
It is allergy season. Coach.
Hello.
So, we lied again.
Yeah. But again, my hand is raised. It's always going to be me with the scheduling, as mentioned in our second episode of season two. Now on to episode three. But I'm like the wind. I was tough to catch. Brendan caught me. We're here. We're on to episode three. Positive vibes only.
I was getting text messages, people saying, back from the dead, my ass.
Yeah, well, get the Undertaker gif right back up, baby. We're coming out of the coffin. We're back.
So what's been new?
Whew, not all that much. I will say this, though. I was saying this to you off air, but I do feel like I was in a car accident. I can barely look left. I can barely look right. Having major, major upper back and neck issues currently. Knees are in shambles per usual, but just happy to be here. I've been watching a lot of basketball. You know, the Celtics have been awesome to watch. Their dismantling of the Nets made me extremely happy, and I'm sure we can get into that in a little while. But other than that, not too much. I was down in Florida a couple weeks ago for my college roommate Joe Gallant, who I played with at Nichols, his bachelor party.
Nice.
You know, yeah, so that was a good time. We played three rounds of golf, which was great, as mentioned in season one. Huge golf guy now. And so that was a great time. Got after it, you know, typical kind of bachelor party stuff.
What happens in Florida stays in Florida.
We were in Orlando. It was a bunch of, there were 12 of us who went down, including Joe. And so we did like a Ryder Cup style draft for golf. Happy to say I wasn't drafted last. So, you know, felt pretty good about that.
Nice.
And then other than that, yeah, just a lot of basketball shit kind of going on, you know, watching AAU games and watching the NBA. You know, and I think, geez, I'm trying to think, last we spoke, was it after the tournament? No, it wasn't.
No, because I wasn't. I was in Texas. I was
for
in Texas
the tournament.
For the tournament, for the Elite Eight.
So
that was an experience.
And that makes it seem that much worse on me for us not getting.
You ready for this?
Back in action.
So we're there for the Elite Eight.
Yep.
Awesome experience. We were there for the Villanova-Houston game.
Great game.
We thought we were also there for the Duke game. So Villanova wins.
Yes.
Right?
Horrible
playing Houston.
Game.
Villanova wins that game. Villanova celebrating on the court, right?
Yeah.
They got everything going on. And I'm looking around. I'm like, where are the Duke fans?
Right.
We had no idea there was one game being played there that night.
Oh, brutal.
One game.
Brutal.
How?
I mean,
We booked flights. We prepare to have a night of two games.
Right.
We get there. There's one basketball game being played. Everyone else clears out the building besides the Villanova faithful. And we're standing
and
there.
And you guys just sitting there waiting for
like,
the next game.
We might move up seats.
Waiting for the next game. Until security and the janitor said, hey, guys, no one else is coming on the floor here. We're not waiting for anybody. Oh, that stinks. San Antonio is a good time, though.
It was a good time.
The Riverwalk is awesome.
It was a good time.
The Riverwalk is awesome. Last time I was down there was for similar event, the Final Four. And that was a good time. But, yeah, a lot of cool bars and restaurants along the Riverwalk. A lot of stuff going on. Was it jamming?
It was good. Yeah. A lot of red. I mean, that was like a home game, right, for Houston?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, they're so much closer than everybody else.
So that was like a home game for them. But while I was out there, obviously we had to fly down, and my podcast notes started to open up right away while I was on the flight.
Boy, did I get a lot of vibrations in my pocket. New note, Brendan edited. I said, okay, here we go.
It's always the flight stuff that gets me.
There's a reason comedians use it. For every single comedian has an airline, airport, airplane joke.
When I'm talking to a team, I want them to show eye contact and I want them to show attention. The moment that the stewardess are given their presentation on how to save your life and the lives of others, I did a quick little scan around the plane. No one's paying attention.
Me as well.
Headphones in.
Yeah, done.
But here's the biggest
one. I don't even know that they're up there.
So if you're 7-8 rows back, so this is how I do it. When I see that these people are given that, and I can see that they're kind of giving a little scan around.
Sure.
I'm trying to like duck behind seats because I feel bad. I feel like I'm in class. I'm throwing myself right behind the kid with the absolute dome piece of a head.
Right.
And I'm hiding.
Right.
Like you can't see me. You got people that are directly in front of these women, stewardess, men, whatever it is. And they're just blatantly saying, I don't give a fuck what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm the kid, head on the desk, drool on the desk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heads up, thumbs up. I almost want
to be like, hey, listen, pay attention.
Oh, wow. You wouldn't love flying with me because hey, make sure you put your mask on first before you try and put mine on.
I also get too, like, I don't, when they're given those instructions in my head, I'm not a huge fan of flying. I'm immediately going into like, wow, man, imagine if this happens. I hope this doesn't happen. So I think part of it is like some people are trying to block out the noise. Like they don't want to, you know,
get
themselves into a panic attack.
Definitely.
And then I think all the other people are just like, yeah, I'm all set.
Yeah. 100%.
I'll figure it out.
I 100% agree with that. I think it's 50-50.
Yeah. Middle of my flight, there was a little group of us. Middle of my flight, I get a text from someone through like the Wi-Fi. Because, you know, I'm a rule follower. I'm shutting my phone off.
Yes, right onto airplane mode.
Am I though? Who knows?
I have often forgotten. And
yeah,
in the middle of the flight, like I look at my phone, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Am I messing up the flight GPS right now? Are these guys flying us north when we're supposed to be going south?
Right.
Because my phone is not on airplane mode. Just me.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, there's 30 other people on the flight
who
are on phone calls.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, the service is great up here.
Yeah, Snapchat. So maybe I was on the Wi-Fi, but here's the thing. It's awful. It never works.
They haven't figured that out yet,
and I think
they do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because I do hear, like you talk about NBA teams when they travel. Obviously, they're traveling private and everything. They can have their phones on. It's a party out there.
Right.
They say their Wi-Fi is better up there than it is at their own homes.
Yeah.
So I think they're just doing it on purpose because it's 2022.
Yeah.
Like we got to have a way to have better, you know, fly-fi as they call it.
Yeah. But I got a text and this person was like, hey, I got an open seat. And he was in the exit row. So I'm like, perfect.
The best.
So I'm in a three-seater.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the person next to me, I said, hey, you could take my seat. I'm going to be moving up.
I'm out of here.
Yep. Yeah. So I get up there.
Yep.
Now I get the leg room. I'm
loving
it. Oh,
amazing. Amazing.
10 minutes into being up there, stewardess comes up to me and she's like, sir, is that your seat? I said, oh no, it's not my seat, but no one's sitting here. She's like, I'm going to have to ask you to get back to your seat. And I was like, do you just need me to confirm that I'll save everyone on this plane? Because
I'll do that. No problem opening the door, and then by the way, I will be jumping out first.
I will get on the loudspeaker right now and I'll tell everyone.
Hey folks, you're good to go with me.
She said, no, that's not it. She says, these seats cost more than the seat that you're sitting in. I pulled out my wallet. I said, how much more? Because I would love to give you cash right now.
Yeah.
She said, sir, you need to go back to
your seat. You can put this in your pocket. You don't even have to tell the airline.
She thought I was arguing with her. I was honestly saying, like, I would love to have extra leg room right now.
Anything.
I don't know why this is an issue. There's no one here.
I'll do anything.
Anything
whatever
you want.
Hey, I'll start bringing the drinks up and down.
Yeah.
No problem. So I'll push the cart.
Imagine
no problem.
How embarrassing that is. So now the four or five rows around me are listening to this conversation.
Yeah.
And I had to go like that. Poor
kid
at the end.
Just slunking back.
And then the worst part was this guy was enjoying his aisle seat that I gave him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, bud, you got to kick back over.
Yeah. God bless.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And by the way, I'll be taking up all the arm room as well. Welcome back. Oh, that's, you know what? That's, I can't believe an exit row. I can believe it because it is more room. It's more comfortable. But what they're telling you is they're putting the precedent of, it's going to cost you more to save everybody's life. It should cost less, shouldn't it?
Right.
God forbid something were to happen. you're now putting everyone else's lives in my hands to open up that door.
Yep.
And get everybody out onto the wing mm-hmm. before this thing craters
right
into the earth.
Yep.
But I got to pay more for that?
This is a big flight up. I'm sorry, but there's a couple more things that
were
really...
Well, we've both been on flights recently, and I'm going on a flight in a few weeks for my sister's wedding, so I'm all for this.
I know we talked about it in the past, but flight lands, everyone jumps up.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
There was a guy 3 or 4 rows behind me, gets his stuff.
So we're talking late 20s?
I'm towards the back.
Okay, so we're talking 20s or 30s.
Yeah, he's like three or four rows behind me. He pops right up. He gets his stuff out from overhead, and he starts already walking past our rows. So now he's like, think about it. You got all the people in the middle rows in the front. They're already standing up because they're jamokes.
Right.
Like they're already deciding.
And I'll tell you what, if you're in the first row, stand up. Because you are going to be the first one off the plane.
Do your thing. Whatever you want to do.
You are, in fact, going to be the first person off the plane.
Still not getting off for another 10 minutes, but do your thing. Right. That makes you feel more comfortable.
That's right. That's right.
So this, this woman, 2 rows in front of me, older woman, she's trying to get her bag out of the overhead, and he's trying to sneak by her with, a duffel bag. And she looks at him, and she says, "Sir, what are you doing?" No, this isn't how this works. She's like, "It goes by row."
Yes.
And I felt like, man, I'm like, I don't have any balls because she said that and I wanted to say it.
Yeah.
And I had to wait for the podcast to say it.
Right. And I wouldn't have said it. Tell me he just kept going.
Kept going.
Just plowed through her.
It was like it was like a wall. He didn't understand what she was trying
to do. Heisman, onto the next person. Where are you going, dude? Where are you going? We're all going to the same place.
And here's the
baggage
best part.
Claim.
That's my point. He had bags at baggage claim. So we're all going to the same place. We're going to wait for those bags to come out.
20 minutes
at least. He's the same guy. He's the same guy who's legitimately breaking his neck like a giraffe to see if his bag is coming around. I'm like, buddy, that thing.
First time?
That thing is coming around no matter what. That conveyor belt, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, who raised you?
That's going to come. That's coming around to you.
Who raised him?
You do not need to jump on that thing to see if it's coming.
Nope.
It's eventually going to come around.
Yeah. It's...
People were like barreling in front of me to get to the front. I'm like, what are we doing?
I've said this before. I'll say it again. There are no rules. There are no times in an airport. You just got off a flight, red eye. Let's say you're coming from... Let's say I did this actually. I flew from Phoenix to Boston. I don't know. It was like... 9 a.m., 8 a.m. There are multiple people at the TGI Fridays in the terminal slamming buffalo chicken wings and whiskey on the rocks. It is 8:15 in the morning. What are we doing here? But there are no rules. There is no time. That guy's probably been up for 12 hours traveling. It's noon for him.
And this was the last thing, and I forgot to make mention of it, and this was pre-flight activity. When they call you up by section... Right?
Like going
section
on to the
A,
plane. Yes.
Section B.
I'm always in D. Always last.
Whatever section I check in.
I've never been quicker doing anything in my life checking in.
Yeah.
No, nope, doesn't matter.
They called our section. This guy is breathing down.
Same guy?
No.
Oh.
This guy is breathing down my neck. Now, when we're in this section, hey, section B, come on up, right?
Yeah.
You have to get your ticket. Mm-hmm. Checked, scanned, whatever it is, and you still have to walk onto the plane.
That's right.
He is breathing down. I turned around and I gave him the look up and down, and I was like, buddy, you're way too close.
Was really hoping it was the same guy because he would have been the triple crown winner.
It's that fail piece that we always talk about. Like, mm-hmm. why are you jumping on my back to get your ticket scanned? You have to walk to your seat still.
You have your seat already. It's not first come, first serve.
I don't get
it. You know your seat. No one else is going to be sitting there, sir.
I don't get it. I'll never get it. Eventually, I'm going to get to that point. I'm pretty close where I'm going to just start speaking my mind in public. And I'm going to say, buddy, you need to back up right now.
We're going to the same fucking place.
You have to. You got to figure this out. We're all adults.
It's not so, man. It's flying. It's like a sport.
Yeah, it's
I
don't
like
know.
It's like a sport.
Yeah, and it's not a sport that I'm enjoying.
And
right
I will
now.
Say this. I'm getting to the point where I'm old enough and, I'm going to pay a little bit extra for comfort now in my life, and I think, you're on the same boat as me there. Like, I might just start paying for it so I'm like automatically in section A. You know what I mean? Or like automatically in like a seat with more room. Whether that be for a lot of places, a lot of airlines don't even really have like quote unquote first class anymore. Like JetBlue just calls theirs more space. You get like an extra couple inches probably. It's worth it.
I noticed the last episode that we had, I swore a lot. It was a lot of F-bombs, and I want to apologize to our listeners for that.
Southie guy. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't the kid out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, but it was honestly, it was a little, I felt disgusted listening to my voice.
Ooh.
Now, I feel like I'm a little hoarse today. So I'm coming back from Atlantic City, and there's nobody who enjoyed Atlantic City more than Coach Carter. But I'm a little hoarse in the throat today.
I will give you a couple. It was definitely because of that.
Yeah.
But also allergy season, as we were saying.
You know what?
100%. I didn't take my Claritin today. I am a nightmare show. Yeah. Never mind feeling like I got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Legitimately, like I'm in tough shape right now.
So that maybe it's part of
it. And then my eyes, I can feel it.
Yeah.
My nose. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that this is a thing. Even when it rains out like it is right now.
Right.
Miserable. So I think that's probably part of it for you as well. But it's definitely 98% Atlantic City and boogie nights.
Fucking. Wow. Hey, I'll tell you.
I will. Let's preface it with this, folks. I was not on this trip. This Coach Carter was down there for an AAU tournament. So I wasn't a part of any of these stories that are forthcoming here.
No, I don't know. There's not going to be any stories.
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, no, I'll just say like, listen, we went down there as a business trip and we handled business. You know, guys played well. Teams played well. I was there and I was locked in. When I was there and I was locked in on the court, I was there.
Yep.
And when I was...
As always.
And when I was at Boogie Nights, I was also locked in.
Now, to make sure people understand, Boogie Nights is a dance club?
Yes, it's... it was basically night club? Built...
Like, are we at the Grand?
No.
Okay.
No. We are... it sounds like it is. Okay. It was meant to, it's 80s, 70s and 80s music. Now there's, I guess, some nights where it's 90s and 2000s, but I just happened to be there in the 70s and 80s, and it was,
thank God,
electric. It was, I mean,
for those listeners who haven't seen Coach Carter dance, it's pretty special. This white man can boogie, you know, white man can dance.
I appreciate that.
And it's, you know, we mentioned it at my wedding. You were moving and grooving.
Yeah.
And I got a Snapchat from Coach Keys. It might have been Coach Keys or it was you, Coach Carter, at, you know, some ungodly hour. And there you were. Your feet were on fire.
Yeah.
You could see smoke coming from the bottom of your shoes.
Yeah.
Just moving and grooving.
That's what we do, baby.
It's just the way it goes.
You know, that's special thanks to Gene Carter.
Yeah. Not coming from Pops?
No. Stiff as a board, as you would say. But no, we had a good time. And like I said, it was a business trip first and foremost. And guys played well. And AC was a good time. It was a long drive, 6 hours there.
Will you think about flying? Because you do have to go back in July. Will you think about flying potentially, or is it going to?
No, I'm
going to
do the same
situation?
Thing. Yeah, it's not an easy place to fly to.
No, and it's not still a terrible drive. 2 hours. All things considered, like driving through Jersey isn't terrible.
Yeah,
it's not bad. Driving through New York is and Connecticut is kind of a pain in the ass, depending on the time.
I'll tell you though, we stayed at the Tropicana Resort Casino. That is an adult playground. I mean, I walked in and I was just getting smacked in the face with secondhand smoke. And I was like, wow, I love this
We're
place.
Here. Yep.
I was like,
welcome to Atlantic City.
Oh, I needed this.
Yeah.
And I went down and, you know.
Love that they allow smoking inside still. It's like walking. It's a blast from the past, just like Boogie Nights.
Oh, crazy.
It's just a
place
blast
is awesome,
from the past.
Though. Place was great.
You win any money gambling?
I didn't gamble once. Not once. Nope. Plan was to
business
get
a trip.
No, that's what I said. Yeah.
Business trip, dancing included.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, business and there was no way I was walking by the Boogie Nights bar and club and not giving my...
At least checking it out.
Yeah. My dogs were, you know, they were barking. They wanted to get inside there and we went.
Yeah. And they were probably barking the next morning. I can imagine your legs were gelatin.
Yes. And I walked in there with off-white sneakers and I came out with brown.
brown sneakers, which is your worst nightmare.
Worst nightmare. I'm going to be honest with you, and Coach Keys can attest to this. I spent 12 hours the next day complaining. Mid-game, timeouts, everything. I was like, after our last game, I need to go buy sneakers for tonight. Shoes, whatever. 12 straight hours.
To make sure you didn't make the same mistake. Not necessarily a mistake.
But I didn't.
You didn't make the same choice.
Nope, I didn't. I went back to the room.
Tell me you wore the same shoes and they were black when you came out.
Went back to the room later after our games, threw on my lab coat, went to work. Little hand soap from the hotel, mixed with a little bit of conditioner. And I was scrubbing, and then I also used the blow dryer for easy dry application.
Yeah, so you're a specialist when it comes to this, and you've given me, as a kind friend, you've been like, hey, I'm going to get rid of these shoes. Do you want them? I'll owe it, you know, if it's free, it's for me. And they've always been white. And the first thing I say is, not for long.
Right.
But you've taught me the kind of the trick, and it has been, it's hand soap. And then I'm not going to say the rest because it's a secret. It's almost like a secret recipe.
Right.
Like
it is.
You know, you got to know somebody to know somebody to get this, get this application. Have I used it?
Yeah.
Can't say I have, but I did get these new white linen shoes. Mm. They're called Hey Dudes.
They're starting to look off-white as we speak.
Got them 4 days ago.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. So that's the way that goes. But these are machine washable.
So I'm going to talk about the setting that we're in right now.
Sure.
So it's raining outside and Coach wore white linen shoes.
These things are the most, they're called Hey Dudes. So I've been calling them Suh Dudes.
Okay.
They are unbelievably comfortable. Unbelievably comfortable.
But once again,
but choices.
White linen in the rain, that's tough.
I'll tell you what, didn't know it was raining until I got into my car from work.
Okay.
Because I'm a slave to my desk, and that is probably why my back and my neck are a nightmare show, and I'm probably 2 to 3 inches shorter than I was a year or two ago.
That gets me into my next line of thinking, and I had this conversation with Taylor and a couple of her friends last weekend.
Okay. This should be good.
Dirty shoes is becoming a thing. You can buy shoes. I didn't know this, but there's an expensive brand of shoes that women buy that are hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. And they're already, it's not actual dirt, but it looks like there's dirt on them. Why? My first question is why? When I grew up, this is going to sound maybe bad, but it was also, I think, pretty spot on, at least in my younger stages. We used to have a saying, dirty shoes, dirty girl. Now.
Wow. Okay.
Now.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think I'm offending anybody when I'm saying that. Because again, this is 14-year-old Brendan thinking this.
Right. Girl could be Pigpen for all we know.
Exactly.
Girl could be Pigpen for all we know. Don't need that in our lives.
But that's always been my thing. When I see, why wear dirty shoes and then have your rest of your ensemble be clean?
Is it crazy for me to say this is kind of like ripped jeans?
So now,
the dad joke of well, you rip your jeans, you should get your money back.
No. So it's flip-flop now. Now it's baggy jeans are in for girls. I don't. So how does this work? You see Zendaya. Is it Zendaya?
Yeah, Zendaya. Yeah.
Zendaya. You know, walking around in,
that's
you
exactly
know,
what
on,
it is.
On
yes.
People Magazine or whatever the fuck it is. And then you decide wow, that looks cool. I'm going to dress like I'm homeless.
If there's anything in life that is kind of always a circle, that always kind of comes back around, I think it's fashion.
Like a circle.
It's like a circle.
It's like a circle.
Not a square.
Yeah.
Not a triangle. Circle. It's a circle. It's definitely fashion. Yeah. Right? Bell-bottom jeans are kind of back now.
Yeah.
And those would have been huge at Boogie Nights.
No, they were. There was a lot
they
of
probably were.
There was a lot of flare jeans at Boogie Nights and a lot of dirty sneakers, and I just couldn't.
Yourself included, sadly.
No. No, by the end of the night.
Not when you walked in. When you walked
in. While I was in line, those things were spanking.
To be fair, spanking. To be fair.
But why? I just don't get the. And I told Taylor's friends. I was I'm sorry, and they were all not Taylor. She wants those shoes. I said, you're not getting those shoes.
No.
She's like, I am getting those shoes. I said, well, you can get those shoes. You're just not going to wear them around me.
And she said, okay.
She's like, that's fine.
Yeah, she said, great.
I was like, no, but you do not understand. I will not go in public with you when you wear those shoes.
I don't understand that. Why is that cool? Is it cool to be dirty?
It's not cool.
This kind of brings
wearing
me to
it. Listen right now, public, okay? Wearing dirty shoes is not cool. I don't care if you got them on right now as we speak. Now, listen, there are places where you wear them. There are sneakers that mm-hmm. are built for getting fucked up.
That, yes, I agree with that.
Right?
Right.
Work, gym, whatever it is.
Landscaping, whatever.
Right. I'm speaking specifically to the casual going out or, mm-hmm. you know, to dinner, to hangouts in public, whatever. Right. That's when you got to have... You got to have a pair of nice sneakers. They don't have to be white. They just got to be clean.
That's fair. I can't believe I've been able to hang out with you for so long.
Oh, that's why I give you.
That's why you continue.
I don't even want to give them away. I can't.
You can't deal with
me walking into this house with dirty K-Swisses on. I can't have
them. Imagine. Or Skechers.
He says imagine, but he was
one step. No, I'll tell you what. I was one step away at the very slightest from probably rocking in here with some Skechers. They'd help my back probably. I do have to talk about this really quick. Do people want to appear, now this has to go with the shoes, do they want to appear dirty and smelly? Because I'm very attentive to looking dirty or smelly. I never want to do that. I carry around a travel-sized deodorant with me everywhere I go. Because if I don't, I will be the smelliest man in the room. And I don't want to ever be that person. Yeah. It seems like it's, again, is it in style? Like, should I be walking around and people are passing out when I walk by them?
I can't answer it. There's a couple of things that go on in today's world of, so like even for instance, right? Like I go to a barber and I get a fade.
Right.
And I get it probably anywhere between every 10 to 14 days. Now yeah, I used to be,
you're good about that.
I used to be a once a week haircut guy in high school and college. Once a week.
Really?
Once a week. Yep.
Religiously. Well, you were getting lined up back then, and that makes a difference because if, you know, you and I, it looks like we both, I know I have it. It looks like you do the widow's peak.
Oh,
as
no,
well.
I don't do the widow's peak.
No, I'm saying, do you have one?
I don't know.
I can't really tell.
I don't know.
Regardless.
I haven't gone a line
up. You know, if you were getting lined up, but back in high school and college, you probably were. You weren't rocking the same hair that you have now.
No. Yeah, high school might have gone, you know, they had a lineup phase for like a year or two. But
yeah, everybody did.
But no, now it's like I'm looked at as weird having a fade. You might be able to speak on it, but like even all the kids like that I coach or kids even their age, they're addicted to these like TikTok haircuts.
Every kid.
Which it's not even a haircut, by the way. It's let's just grow out our hair.
Yeah.
And then not take a shower and not wash it for like 2 months.
It's
that's
just
how
bedhead.
It looks.
It's just bedhead.
It's wild looking.
I've been the Babe Ruth of bedhead for some time now.
You would have been, if you were 18 right now,
That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you. You missed
out. I'd be
out.
A TikTok superstar.
You missed out.
I'd be a TikTok superstar. So, yeah. But I agree. Every kid, at least not every kid, a lot of the kids that I coach. Now, Zavarian's a little different because they do have some rules, just like BCI. You know, you can't have it on your collar, things like that.
Can't have what on your collar?
Your hair. Touch the back of your collar.
Can't have your hair touch your collar? That's
a
rule?
It wasn't like this at BCI when you were there? It was like this when I was at Fiend, and it's like this at Zavarian. Now, they're not. I wouldn't say they're super strict about it.
My friend Max, rest in peace, love you. He has his hair down to his shoulders.
Yeah. So maybe it's just a Zavarian. Well, I know it was a Fiend thing as well, but... You know, they're not super strong. Like the hockey kids, like they're, you know, they got some lettuce going on. The lacrosse kids. A lot of kids are growing their hair out like that. They want some lettuce. Or a lot of kids are going mullets now.
Yeah.
Mullets are huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And then a lot of them are like getting like perms. They have like the weird bouncy fro.
It doesn't make sense.
Wait a minute. I saw your hair 2 years ago. It's straight as an arrow. Like your hair is not curly. You got a perm. It is... 2022, I didn't even think they made the machines to create a perm, but there they are because Jack Harlow has one.
My question is, when you go to the barber...
Do they laugh at you?
And what do you ask for?
Right. I've gone to the same barber shop pretty much my whole life for a long time. So I just walk in and they say, do you want the usual? Yeah. Just like I get a two on the sides, trim up the top.
You hop out you hop out of the fire truck and you grab your lollipop and you're gone.
Nice to see you. I'm gone. Yeah, I'm gone. I'm gone. Thanks a lot. See you later. Hop out of the fire truck and grab a lollipop.
speaking of Atlantic City and speaking of this past weekend, live period.
It was live. I didn't realize it was live.
College coaches, evaluation period.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask this question, and for any college coach that's listened to this, I'm not talking directly about you, but it's concerning to me. Now, this is going to be the one time I'm going to pat myself on the back for stuff that I've helped players accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of success at the college level with sure. guys in our program.
Yes.
I'm not going to take any credit for that because there's coaches out there that love the credit.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't going to be him.
Nope. You're not that guy.
Not happening. You ain't going to see me in pictures and videos. Ain't going to be that guy.
Not that guy.
But what I will say is when I give honest evaluations, I'm giving you them honestly. So
right.
if I say a kid is a shooter or shoots it really well, or is the best shooter maybe ever in our program, or it could be anything, rebounding, bat passing.
Right, whatever skill.
Don't base it off of the one game you go to watch this kid. Like, there's people out there, when they evaluate, they take it to the extreme of scouting a game. And it's like, I see it happening when we're playing. Like, coaches, like, charting shots, or like circling, like marking turnovers. It's like, listen, these are 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, right? And for what it's worth, right? During this time, live period, this is a shit ton of pressure.
Yes.
There's some kids out there that are trying to do too much because they're trying to achieve whatever their aspirations are as goals as players, right?
Right.
And there's going to be times where kids are going to not shoot the ball well. Right. There's going to be times where that's just not just their day, whatever. Right.
It happens all the time.
All the time. All the time.
It could be every other game.
And I tell coaches, like, I'll have conversations with coaches and they'll be like, yeah, like, went to watch your guy, like, you know, didn't shoot the ball well that day. And I'm like, yeah, you had a bad day. You just didn't shoot, not even a bad day. Just didn't hit shots today.
Yeah. They make it seem like no one in their program ever plays poorly in a game.
Right. And here's my next thing. And I don't ever say this because I'm not an asshole. But what I really want to say sometimes is, listen, you should be grateful that he didn't hit all those shots that he just played in that game with. Because if he did, you have no chance of getting him.
We're talking to you all Division III coaches. Because
you have no chance of getting him.
We've both been there and we've seen kids like that have one absolutely lights out night and we never hear from the kid again.
And I say to them, I'll be like, listen, I don't know how long I'll be doing this for, but the one thing you'll always get from me is honesty. You either have two choices here. You can either take my advice, take my credibility, and recruit that kid and not care that he didn't hit shots in that game you just watched, or you can play against him next year and he'll have 25 against you, and then you could pick up the phone to me and tell me once again, hey.
You were right.
And I'm not trying to, again, gloat here. Nope. I don't care where our guys play. It's all about fit for me. But some people, college coaches, you're doing too much. Keep it simple. Right? There's guys out there that, because they know the types of kids that play for me, and we recruit. Like, I recruit. Like, not all these kids just came out from the bottom of the ranks, third grade with us. Like, there's sometimes that I have to go out and find that next best kid,
right,
and I'll recruit. So I'm recruiting specific type players that could play at specific type places.
And they're good.
Of course they are.
You're not going to bring in some shitty basketball player. But yeah, I'll give this kid a chance. It's not how that works.
There's guys out there, very successful programs. And again, I'm not going to say names because I don't want people to think I'm talking about specific people, good or bad. But there's specific programs that recruit all of our guys. All five of our guys.
Yes.
Start five, whatever it is. And like, it's because they've seen, they like the way that whether it's your teaching or the way that those kids are as players, that's going to be exactly what we want for the next level.
Or they've had success with one in the past.
Right.
And they say, I need more of that.
Right. And like, again, when you're evaluating, and this is just my advice, like, we've done it before. We have experience in it.
Yes.
When you're watching, don't just watch the game. Like, find out who the kid is. Like, what his background is. Like, some kids are public school kids that are legit just turned 17 years old and are playing against 19-year-old kids out here.
Well, that's the, yeah, that's it's a whole like other conversation. Years, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. Of experience. Have,
imagine but, the kid yeah. that you're looking at
in is two an adult. One kid is an adult.
And in 2 years' time, what that kid that you actually like, wow, I think I like this kid. Okay, imagine what he's going to be in 2 years. Not right. going to get worse.
Yeah, right, exactly. If you're a good coach, he's not going to get worse.
Yeah, he's going to get stronger. He's going to get better.
Yeah. It's
but the I guess my point is, I don't understand when coaches go to watch how they base their entire evaluation off of one performance. And there's sometimes where like a kid will play his ass off for me, and the coach will come up to me like, "I love that kid, so and so." I'm like, "Yeah, he played well." Yeah, I'm like, I think he's probably more so fit in this conference, or is more so fit for yeah. a school like this. But yeah, he played really well today. Well,
and that's where coaches get in trouble, is they fall in love with that one game.
Or they follow the names.
Yeah, well, that's a big part of it, too.
Stop following the names. That's a big part of it, too. Stop recruiting kids that give you a tough time in terms of communication. If you feel like you have to, like, strong arm a kid to even get him on a phone or return a text, or you feel like he wants scholarships, just move on.
Yeah, it's not
just
worth
move
it.
Move on.
It's not worth it.
He's going to be 1 foot in and 1 foot out, even if he commits to you, right? It's yeah. just like, you go after the kid that's just as good and actually wants to be playing.
Especially the way kids transfer now. Like, if a kid's not fully bought into the program, whether he plays a lot, doesn't play a lot, is bought in, isn't bought in, like, he's always just going to be like, I'll just go somewhere else.
That's a conversation I've had with a million of these coaches when I'm away, when I see these guys. Like, and I say the same thing. There would be guys that play for me that they might be struggling a little bit right now. And they'll be like, "Yeah, you know, I like him. I thought I liked him last year." I'm like, "He's our best player." he'll be like, "Yeah, I know, like, he seemed like he's struggling. He's struggling in that game. He's our best player." I'm like, you got to see beyond where we're at right now. You have no idea, like, what's going through a 16, 17, 18-year-old mind.
Yeah, it is April 26th today. So it was April, 22nd, 23rd when you were down there, right? Unbelievably early in this AAU season. You might see him in July and be like, "Whoa." Because he's inevitably going to get better. These kids are typically, for a lot of AAU programs, playing with these other teammates for the first time ever, okay, haven't developed chemistry, playing for a new coach and are getting used to their system, their coaching style. It's April, so a lot of stuff going on in high school right now. Prom is coming up soon. It's a huge freaking thing. It's a huge thing, right? I never realized it as a college coach how big some things are in high school, because now that I'm working in high school, this stuff matters. The kid also plays on the baseball team at high school and he's exhausted, right? He's like, this is like the 10th thing he's doing that day. He's doing all sorts of other stuff. There's so much going on. The time right now, I always thought, at least personally, when I was coaching college, and again, I'm not a savant, or anything like that. You can just look at my coaching record to know that. But what you do see right now in this part of the AU season is, I want to keep my eye on that kid. Just circle names. Communicate with the kid, like you just said. It's funny. In my phone, every day I had a reminder set that said, text recruits. Did I do it every day? No, because you don't want to be that guy who's all over these kids. And I didn't do it because I would forget, but it would just remind me, hey, get to know this kid. Right. And then you find out so many things, whether the kid is interested in your school. What does that kid want to study? What has he got going on this spring and summer? Is he doing anything else? Is he doing other sports? Whatever it might be. And then when you see them in June, end of May, June, July, when school is over and they're really super focused, hyper focused on basketball, that's when you're going to see the kid play his best, because that's all they're doing probably every single day. 5 to 7 days a week, the kid is either at the gym, at practice, or playing in games.
Right.
And of course the kids are going to get better. Right. And then you'll see him at camps. That's the funny thing too. Like, you see him at some of these camps and it's like the 15th game on the third day of camp. And you're like, man, I don't really love how that kid looks.
Yeah. What the fuck do you
the
expect?
The kid can barely feel his legs.
What do you expect?
You just trust yourself is really what it kind of comes down to. Like, trust yourself. You guys are good coaches. You have a job for a reason. Trust yourself.
At this point, people in my seat try to convince all day. That's what they do. They convince.
Sell.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
I could care less. So when a college coach tells me something opposite as to what I'm telling them, I get a little frustrated, I'll be honest with you, at this point. Like, I had a call today He's like, yeah, he didn't shoot the ball well, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, he just didn't shoot the ball well. I'm like, do you want to recruit him or not? I was like, because here's my thing. I was like, not trying to be an asshole, but like, he's going to get recruited by a million other schools, right? And I told you about him early, so you have an opportunity to try to recruit him. If you don't like him based off of him not shooting well in a single game, I'm like, then move on.
And I'll tell you, you told me the name of this school, and obviously I won't say it on here, but I watch fairly good amount of their games throughout the winter. I can tell you what, I know your best player didn't shoot it well every game. Because if he did, you wouldn't have lost the game. So it's like, what you're expecting these kids on their third game of the day or the weekend. Like, I can't even fathom doing that anymore. I remember, like, do you remember doing it? Like, in AAU, you'd play, like, seven games in a weekend? I can't even imagine doing that right now.
We played on Saturday, played a good team, won the game. It was
dogfight,
probably. Dogfight. Yeah. The score was in the 30s. Like, just both teams just
rock fight,
dogging each other defensively. We had a three-hour gap to the next game. I told Tommy, I said, we are 1,000% losing this game. I looked at our body language,
toast,
waiting for the next game,
toast,
slumped in the chairs. And it's not, I don't blame him. I'm like, it's hard. It's,
I remember, hard at Mass Premier, this is back in the day at Mass Premier, when they used to have this big screen TV and like three or four leather couches in the lobby. Every weekend in between games, not me, but you know, we'd be either be sitting there on the couch, just slumped in the couch, eating God knows what, chicken fingers from the concession stand, or you'd see kids from other teams literally sleeping on the couch.
Right. I mean, we were at the Atlantic City Convention Center. They had a candy bar in the middle of the court. I was like,
you were popping over there in between each game. Yeah, timeouts, everything. Hey, Coach Keys, take care of this one for me. I got to go grab some licorice.
Like, how about instead of a candy bar, let's get like a Gatorade bar or a Powerade bar.
Right,
or something,
like smoothies, anything. Yeah.
Kids are walking around shoving peach rings down their gullets. It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, gummy bears.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, I can't even, I just like, I think about now, like what I, and again, I feel like crap right now because I sit at a desk. I can't even imagine if I had to play six games in a weekend right now. You wouldn't see me for like a week.
Yeah. You know, I'm telling you right now.
And I know it's easier, you know, they're 16, 17, and you're right. But at the same time, it's like, these kids are tired, man.
Tired.
And it's early in the AAU season. Never mind July.
I told one coach today, I said, listen, these are kids. I'm going to allow them to be kids, enjoy themselves. I'm not, after a Saturday night game, saying, hey, you know, bedtime's at 10. You guys better wake up in the morning, get stretched out. Like, no.
Right.
This is a team bonding experience. They were probably flying around the casino, having a blast.
Definitely.
And I want them to do that.
Up until 1 in the morning.
I want
somebody's
them to do
room.
That. Definitely. You'll never forget these times the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Right? That's so when I tell the coach that, I'm like, I don't know. These kids might have been up till 1 in the morning. Like,
this
kid could have been fighting with his girlfriend the night before.
This kid just slept 3 hours.
You have no idea.
Yeah. No.
If you want to base it off on performance, go right
in. And I will say this, I've definitely been on the side of the college coach thinking that. But now, again, now that I'm working in high school pretty exclusively, like, I've really kind of flipped my thinking and being like, this isn't this kid's life. No. Like, they're not getting, like, college coaches are getting, you're getting paid to evaluate. You're getting paid to, these kids aren't getting paid to play basketball. They're playing because they love it. And but it's not the number one priority in their life right now.
No.
It's just not. And it probably won't be.
Yeah.
My best players at Xaverian, a bunch of them, basketball's not even their favorite sport.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of high school and in AAU. Like, you know, if you're lucky enough to have, at the high school level, like, forget it. If you're lucky to have 3 or 4 basketball specific kids, your team's going to be good.
Right.
AAU, same thing. If you can have like 5 or 6 who don't or aren't off doing other things or whatever, like, you're going to be good.
Right.
That's just kind of the way it goes. The more you play, the better you're going to be.
Right.
But it's just, it's a whoa.
Taylor's
just checking the foundation.
I have to get a new front door.
Making sure the door frame was sturdy. Call the landlord.
So Taylor just walked in. That's what that loud noise was that you heard.
She was just checking the door frame, checking the sturdiness of
the
door frame.
The first thing she does is she says, I have your dry cleaning. And I was like, when was this from? She's like, probably a decade ago.
The tag said, 2019.
What am I lying about?
You just fabricate
stories. How did I fabricate? Did I just say word for word what she just said?
No.
Oh, no, you did. He did say that.
I did say that.
Oh, yeah. Now you're fabricating stories. He absolutely said that.
I 1,000% said that.
100%. And so, you were checking the sturdiness of the door frame when you came in as well.
So the person you're hearing in the background is Taylor. She also has the memory span of a goldfish, apparently.
Welcome home, Taylor.
It's true. That's what I will do. I'll drop stuff off at the dry cleaners, and I'll just use it as my personal closet for like months. And they're good about it. They don't sell it. They don't put it on Poshmark. They're good
people.
I've
had friends like go back, and they're like, no, we don't have your stuff anymore. Just disappears.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my buddy like saw this guy like wearing it around town. He's like, wait a minute, that's my jacket.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, what are you talking about?
That's like that.
That happened to my buddy Kyle.
It's like that that episode out of Seinfeld.
Yes. That's exactly right. Yeah. What a good business, dry cleaning.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's hilarious that you just leave your stuff there that long. I get like anxious. I got to go get my stuff.
No, I'm not even kidding you. That's months.
Well, no kidding. It didn't cost $280 to get the blanket dry cleaned. Nice blanket, but I mean, come on.
Apologize for that after we were rudely interrupted. getting back to the basketball stuff and staying on the college coaching scene.
Yes.
I put out a tweet today. I sent it to you.
Yes, you did.
Thought I was going to get a lot more love. It's all good. Whatever.
Haters. I liked it.
Yeah, I know.
Team guy, of course. That would have been awkward if I just like liked it in the message and didn't actually like it on Twitter.
Right.
Which is something I've been known to do, is just like messages.
Yeah.
And then just walk away, but
I
didn't do it this time.
It was the college coaches selling their elite camps.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
A tradition unlike any other.
Any other. Today, more so, I don't know if it's like a post-April evaluation period, which is actually a good time to send it. Because players are waiting for college coaches to reach out to them following it.
Yeah, I know what that you're doing. And, I know what you're doing. You know, school is slowing down.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a little bit more open schedule. And it's before summer, which is when everyone's doing vacation and other, you know, other things.
The college coaches that are listening to this right now, they're like, what the fuck, Brendan? You're really fucking us over.
You're pulling out the rug on us.
Yeah. Right now. But listen, and I'm not going to say too much, right? Now, there are plenty of prospect camps that make a lot of sense and that are great for kids in the evaluation period. And agreed. I'm not going to say which ones they are, and I'm not going to say which ones they aren't.
Agreed.
It's not my job to do that. I won't throw you guys under the bus. But I will say, send those to the kids. Don't send them to me because
they ain't getting sent.
Please, for the love of God. A couple of people have sent it to me, and I said, hey, you send it to somebody else.
It's funny you said, I put together a specific list for my kids at Zavarian. Like, hey, these are the ones you want to look at.
Yeah.
But the other ones probably aren't worth it. And again, and we're not going to name names.
No, we're not.
There are some great ones.
Great ones.
Really good. Like, really well run. Coaches are good guys.
And you know who
they
you
do
are.
You know who you
and
are.
And you know who you aren't.
That's right. That's right.
And if you aren't, that's right. And you're listening to this, just give yourself a chuckle. Just because you know we're right.
And you know what? It's one of those things. I get it. Listen, we've both been in that assistant position, especially at some of these schools that are running them. That's like where you make your money.
Yeah.
You make your money based on how many kids you bring to this camp. So I'll tell you what, if I were you, I'd call every kid I had in my phone, whether they're already in college, whether they've graduated, whether they're high school kids. Hey, you want to come to the elite camp?
Yeah.
Want to get a run in?
There's some that it makes a lot of sense for, even if they're not the greatest in the world. It gets you an opportunity to get those prospects in the gym. You get to see them a little bit more.
It's everything. Because most of recruiting is once you get a kid on campus.
Yeah.
Because you can only sell so much by texting the kid, calling the kid on the phone.
Yeah. And then there's the ones that, you know, Jimmy's not going to, he's going to be on the.
Yeah. Jimmy ain't going to your school. He's not going to your school.
You know he isn't, but it's all good. Yeah.
He's not going to your school, but his check looks nice.
Yeah. So I get it. We all know.
100% understand it.
Yeah.
But 100%. Like, I run a camp.
Can you do me a favor though?
We run
camps. For the ones that listen, can you do me a favor? Don't send me your prospect camp flyer, and the message that you send me before that was the exact same time the year before.
The year before.
Because I'm not even answering it.
Right.
Don't send me a prospect camp flyer once a year and not have any other communication with me.
And don't send it with any typos. Because you know what I'm doing with
that prospect camp flyer?
Delete message.
Yeah, if there was an ability to light it on fire digitally, I would have.
Yeah, gonzo. Yeah, and don't say, proofread everything, please. There's nothing that bothers me more when someone doesn't proofread something and there's like three, you're like, what the, don't just throw it together. If you're going to do it correctly. And again, there are a lot that do, and there are a lot that I really love. I've worked a lot of them in the past.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, whatever. What are you going
to
do?
Rico had a good
We run camps.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get as many kids as possible. Of course we are.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
It's different though. Those are for development.
Right. You're right.
Those are for development. These are for something else.
You're right.
Rico brought up a good point though when we were talking.
Shout out Rico.
Yep.
Shout TKO out Rico. Win.
Yep.
Recently.
But we were talking about that.
Hope he's enjoying a cheeseburger right now.
We were talking about that in a group message. And I remember he said, you should ask that, and this was a scholarship school.
This was good. Yes, this was good.
He said, you should tell that scholarship school that I'll send you, what was it? Like he said, I'll send you 5 or 6 kids, but you have to make sure to put that money towards a partial scholarship for the kid that we're actually sending you that you should be recruiting.
Right.
I was like, wow, isn't that great?
Really good. Really good.
What a mind fuck that would be.
Yeah, seriously. Like, oh, do we actually want this kid at the camp? Yeah, because we're going to have to offer him a 2 for 4.
Yeah.
Or a 3 for 4.
Yeah. Then we'll see what you're really all about.
Yeah. Do you really? You don't really love that kid that much, do you?
No. You just want to pay for the lunches and the t-shirts with
that. That's right. And part of your salary.
Right. Well, we'll get away from that. I'm not trying to throw you guys all under the bus.
No,
you
but
guys,
shout out Rico though. It was you know, he can finally kind of enjoy himself a little bit.
But do me a favor.
It was funny talking to him being like, "Man, I would just love a bag of Utz chips right now."
Yeah, hopefully he's doing that.
After a big win.
But all the college coaches, just do yourself a favor. Like, I'm not listen, when you do, at least talk to me. Just know that I'm not selling you bullshit.
Don't be fake.
Come on.
Just don't be fake.
If you ask me if a kid could play for you, I'll tell you the truth.
Listen, if we haven't talked in a year, I'm a college coach. First thing I'm going to say is, hey, I know we don't talk all that often, and I should be better on it. But I think this would help, though. Yeah. Hey, I should be better communicating with you. I apologize I haven't. But, hey, I have an elite. We're running an elite camp, a prospect camp. Well, would you mind sending this along?
No, I'm not even
Rather than that. Just copying, pasting.
I'm talking about the other piece. I mean, that's my fault. I'm talking about the actual recruitment piece. The actual, like...
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, sure.
We have to get into the important part of this episode with basketball. And I know we don't talk about the Celtics the whole time.
Love the C's. I wish producer Paul was here. He bleeds green.
Compared to where we were at the end of last season, talking about how they were unwatchable.
They were.
Unwatchable in the first half of the season to I am in love with this team right now.
Man, they are really fun to watch.
What a job he's done.
I mean, incredible.
What a job he's done.
It's amazing what can happen when you're tough on players, and it's amazing what can happen when you call them out. And the NBA has you can call them out publicly and be like, boy, are we soft as shit, which they were for about a half of the season. But man, are they.
They got a real shot.
They do. They do. They honestly do, especially like Phoenix, who is the favorite now, is like could potentially lose this first round to the 8 seed Pelicans.
Well, who do they have? They might play the Bucks next round or no?
Yes, they will play the Bucks. Barring anything happening.
Middleton's out.
And I think they have the defenders to throw at Giannis, and I think they have the defenders to throw at Holiday. They are fun. It was great watching them dismantle the Nets. I was at one of the games. I was at the second Celtics home game, game 2, when they were down 17, came all the way back. Like, dude, the Garden was just like immense. It was fun to be there. But it was great. Here's my favorite part about it is, you know, defense is great. They've always kind of been a relatively good defensive team. They haven't always been tough, but they have good schemes or whatever because they've always been well coached. What really excites me is Jason Tatum now willingly making the right pass. Changes everything for them. Because I'll tell you what, it's much easier to play defense off of a make than it is off of a miss, right? I mean, you kind of saw it in game 4. It started to get a little wacky with JT being fouled out. Next thing you know, Nets are in transition and just getting layups.
And defensively, he's...
And defensively, he was one of the best players in the NBA.
He was fantastic against Durant.
He's first team All-NBA from everyone that I've listened to.
Fantastic against Durant.
Tremendous. The best anyone's guarded him in a series, maybe ever.
Biggest sleeper on this team, and shout out to our guy Rick Gorman, Fenice Dembo, Grant Williams.
He hates him.
Mr.
Every three.
I mean, he defended the shit out of Durant.
Dude.
Game 4.
Oh my God. He's so strong. You can't, like, guys like try to back him down. He looks like seasoned cement. Laterally,
he's been working.
Tremendous. It's amazing what can happen when I'm sure Marcus Smart has been working with all these, because, like, you know, one defensive player of the year has been in the talks for defensive player of the year pretty much his entire career. Finally got one, you know, much deserved. He is tremendous. I mean, Jaylen Brown is great. I mean, they're extremely fun to watch. And it's not like they're playing in like rock fight games. It's not like we're watching like the 04 Pistons.
No.
When it's like, you know, 70 to 70. Like they're still scoring 100 points. You know, well over 100 points to win these games. Like they're doing what they need to do offensively. And again, Tatum making the right path, not taking like contested fallaways, but as he's doing it, seeing that open guy in the corner, knocking it, and that guy's knocking it down. They're fun to watch, man. I think they could banner 18.
The fact that Robert Williams came back after, mm-hmm. was it a torn MCL or sprained?
Sprained. What, like, regardless.
Three weeks, 4 weeks?
Call it a career for me. Career injury.
Surgery and came back in 3 weeks?
Career injury.
There's no way that he's not lingering still, like coming back from that. Like he's gonna feel it. But like the fact that he's pushing through that, that's unbelievable.
It's so huge that they have a number of days off here before.
Oh yeah.
I would imagine they'll probably play Saturday if the Bucks play tonight. If they win tonight, the series might be over. I'd have to look at my phone, but they'll probably play Friday or Saturday. Again, gives him 2 to 3 days of rest. He'll be not over 90% probably by the time they play that first or second game. So it's huge. And the best thing about it is the Bucks lost on purpose to avoid Brooklyn, and now they have to come to the Garden for Game 7 if it gets to that point.
Speaking of losing on purpose, Scott Foster.
Criminal.
Come on.
Criminal.
And I know he's being told to do that.
100%. Let's put our tinfoil hats on. I'm all for the NBA is rigged. I 100%
that,
think it is.
After that.
100% think it is. After, part of it, at least.
I mean, you can't say it wasn't after that.
Yeah.
When he got his sixth foul, like, now, I will say this. Tatum's got to stop asking Ime to challenge calls that aren't close to being reversed.
And he needs to stop complaining every time he gets a little, you know, he gets slapped. You're going to keep getting slapped.
Everything else is great. But
get used to it.
He literally ran into, I forget who it was who took the shot in the corner, maybe Curry. He literally ran into him and he's like, he's doing the, I was like, no, no, you literally ran into
him. No, that's
him.
A foul.
You're gonna lose every league. We're going to lose that timeout.
Yeah.
So I think that's what happened. He could have gone back and challenged that call, right? Or can you not challenge it?
I don't
under
know
2 minutes?
If that's and I don't know if it's that type of foul you can challenge. I don't really know.
But I mean, let's just say
regardless, wasn't a good call. Should have been a no call. I mean, the ball should have just been a loose ball. Whoever, you know,
it was nothing. It was either an offense foul that they called him?
Offensive foul.
It was either a defensive foul or nothing.
Or nothing. I would have said it was probably a no call. But, you know, that's the NBA.
Yeah, well, and listen, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, no, I don't believe that. The NBA lost so much money when the Celtics just swept the Nets.
Oh,
because they lost two to three days
of TNT, ESPN money.
The game one and game two was the most watched NBA playoff game, like over the last however long. I forget how many years it was. Like game one of the Nets Celtics series, because there's so much drama involved.
Of course.
You know, whether it's the Kyrie with Boston, you have Ben Simmons potentially playing, Robert Williams coming back.
Yep. Like two huge markets, regardless of the drama.
Huge story.
Two of the biggest markets in the
NBA. They lost a ton of money. So, of course, they were trying to rig that game.
Yeah. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Chicago pulls out a win tonight to extend that thing a little bit.
Yeah. They're saying we need more.
Because Chicago, massive market. Milwaukee, now a big market. They don't have LA, they don't have either LA team. And that's a huge money loss for the NBA because that is the biggest market probably, other than maybe New York, but New York never has a good team. No. So it's LA is probably the biggest market.
Yep.
And they lose that. So it is, it's interesting to watch. And it's like, you'll see the Suns that they should win this series and they will win this series, I think. But I wouldn't be surprised if they needed some help that they get some, because last thing the NBA wants is, 4,000 people from New Orleans watching a game when they could have 100,000 from
New Orleans. Are tough.
So tough. They're imagine tough. They had Zion.
They're tough.
Tough. Ingram is awesome. The guy at Alvarado.
Tough.
10-day contract guy. Now he's gonna make a boatload of money and be set for the rest of his life.
Yeah, they're tough. I don't know who that kid is that was getting chippy with Chris Paul last game.
Herb Jones, rookie. Tremendous.
Love it.
Tremendous.
Giving right back.
Yeah, such a good defender.
Well, this was a good one. Coach, this was a good one.
This was, a lot of different topics. And again, you know, we kind of went into it. So let's just kind of shoot the shit a little bit. And we did.
Yeah.
A lot going on in our lives, clearly, because we can't freaking schedule. I can't schedule a day to do a podcast. So, you know, there should be a lot going on. If there wasn't a lot going on, I'd just be lying to you all the time.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
Producer Paul's prepping his dog for a dog show. Producer, so that's why Paul, he's not here.
We found out has like 3 or 4 more jobs that he's got going on.
Yep. Dog groomer.
Dog groomer. Lotto winner or lottery ticket printer.
Homeowner.
I don't know what he does at the lottery, but he does work there.
Yep. Homeowner.
Homeowner. Roofer. Landscaper. He's got a lot going on, that man.
Yeah, he really does.
He's got a lot going on, but I would have loved to talk to Celtics with him. He's, you know, he was always the guy. When we first started this podcast, we both said, eh, we kind of watch the Celtics every once in a while.
Oh, he's loving it.
He bleeds green.
Yeah, he's loving it.
He bleeds green.
Yep.
So I know he's happy right now. But yeah, I'm excited to watch the Celtics. It's funny, as I get older, I just find myself like looking for more things to kind of like really get into. You know, just not even hobbies, but like, I think I've been watching the Red Sox a ton as well. When I would like never really do that unless when I was younger. Red Sox look okay. I think they're going to be pretty good this year. And then, excited for kind of the summer to start up soon enough, which is crazy to say.
I'm getting my summer bod ready.
Yeah, I am not. I gotta get working on that. I gotta hop on this Peloto that you have here in this room.
I came back from Texas. I was plus 13.
Expected though, it's vacation.
It is, but it was
especially down there.
It was in the wrong places. It was in my turkey gobbler and in my
you
piss
don't,
pouch.
Hey, you don't choose.
I can't choose.
If you choose, you'd put it in your feet.
That's right.
And you'd be wearing size 16 double E.
That's right. Just like my
you
father.
Can't, you know, you can't choose.
No. Nope.
Can't choose. So just keep hopping on this Peloto and keep rocking it. But everybody, please, we appreciate you listening. Please continue to push us and get honest about doing more episodes, because we will. The summer and the spring are always a little bit more open for us, or they should be.
Yeah, let me again. Hold on. I'm just going to drop Coach Sheen's cell phone number so you guys can all text him as to when you want his next episode to drop. I'm just kidding. I won't do that to you.
I appreciate that. But honestly, a lot of the listeners probably already have it. So feel free to text me.
Yeah.
And for those who don't, feel free to continue to text Brendan. His number is... No, but again, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Continue to like, subscribe, comment, review, and keep passing this along to people who don't listen. We'd love to get more listeners and keep this thing going for you guys. So thank you for being a friend.
Peace out, Rabbit.